You're listening to the Mile You're In podcast. Everything running related. From 100 meters to 100 miles. And now, here's your host, Phil Patterson Jr.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Mile You're In podcast. I got a kind of shorter one for you today, so I'll get right into the topic. But before I do that, as always, let me shout out my three Patreon supporters, Becky, Francine, and the anonymous supporter. If y'all are interested in supporting the show, check the show notes or hit me up on social media. And also, now that I'm a running coach, I got to promote myself there too. I do virtual coachings. I can help y'all if you want to start running or if you want to get better at running, you got a time or distance goal you're aiming for, or even if it's not you, if you know somebody, send them my way. Hit me up, social media. I'm available. Let's talk. Let's make things happen. Now, I'll be honest. I've been doing good with every other week having a new episode, but I didn't have a topic until yesterday. I was starting to think, what am I going to talk about? I don't even, there's nothing on my mind. There's nothing inspiring. I don't want to just put out anything. And then a friend sent me an Instagram video yesterday, and it just hit me. And all of a sudden, these different ideas after watching that video came to mind. And I was like, these are perfect examples of what they were displaying in that video and the message that they were trying to get across. And it's just that in life, people are going to tell you that you can't or shouldn't do something. And in my opinion, a lot of times it's their fear or their lack of knowledge. And if you don't do your own research and check it out yourself and just believe what they say, you're missing out on an opportunity to find out your potential, what you're capable of, a possible blessing that you might be missing out on. So I wanted to talk about that because I think about even last episode with Ashley, we were talking about running through pregnancy. And I remember before it's become more common and you see it more often, when I first started running back in 2013, I would see on message boards and social media and things like that where a woman would post videos or pictures or just talk about it. And there were men and women negatively responding to it. And, you know, you shouldn't do that. It's not safe. It's not healthy. It's not good for the baby. And it's an example of lack of knowledge because they're not medical professionals. I understand you may have experienced someone doing that and had a negative experience through that, but it doesn't mean everybody else is going to have that same situation. You don't know what theirs was, and you can't compare it to theirs if it's not the same situation. You don't know, you don't have that information available to you. So I think about all the doctors and technology and how advanced we are compared to even back then. There's so much available that I feel like now, as long as you do the research and you find out for yourself, go to a professional who's experienced and knowledgeable in that area, get the right advice and suggestions, then it's possible. Because you see Ashley, and by the way, she just had the baby. So if y'all not following her on social media, I wanted to let y'all know she did just have the baby. So we were already joking that, you know, pretty soon she'll be out on the track. And I said she'll probably be faster than me because I don't know how fast her husband is, but I know Ashley's fast. So if she's got even half of her genes there, if it's not more her husband's genes, she's going to be fast. She's going to be fast. Let's just leave it at that. But again, like Ashley running, you heard her say, she was doing 7 mile long runs at 9 months. She ran a 6 minute, five second mile at 9 months. So things that people would say are not possible, she did. And others that aren't out as popular on social media or aren't elite and don't have as many followers are probably doing similar things. And we just don't know about it because you don't see it, out of sight, out of mind. So you think, because it's not common, you don't see it often, you think it's not possible, but it is. I remember back around 2010, I forget now, it's been so long, but when Haiti had the earthquake And I was still very active in the church, and I started volunteering to go on the missions trips to Haiti to help out. The very first trip, I had a lot of people, and understandably so. If you don't know the situation over there, it's worse now, definitely right now. But back then, there still were a lot of gangs, and there were a lot of kidnappings. There were a lot of issues, especially with tourists and white tourists. And everybody just was all, you can't go over there. You're going to get kidnapped. You're going to get killed. They're going to rob you. Like, you know, just all the negative things. Nobody was really, well, I shouldn't say nobody. A lot of people were encouraging me and supporting me. And because a lot of people helped donate to make it possible to even go on those trips. So I can't say everybody thought the same way, but there were a lot of people that did try to discourage me from going and just put so much negativity in my head. And it's funny because sometimes that can affect you and sometimes it doesn't. And in that case, I just had so much faith that everything was going to be okay. I had this sense of calmness that I wasn't worried, that fear that they were putting in my head was not resonating. It was not staying there. It was in one ear, out the other, and I was fine. And I ended up being fine. Yes, we did have some issues and some scary moments, some potential moments. But the thing is, we went with people that knew what they were doing. We went with the right people. We had the right people around us that kept us safe and kept us out of harm's way and knew what to do in certain scenarios. And that's the thing. If I had just said, oh, I'm going to go over there by myself. Oh, trust me. There's a lot of bad things. All those situations we kind of ran into. Yeah, it would have been ugly. I might not have made it out after 1 or 2 days. But we were with the right people that had a plan and knew what they were doing and had the right people internally that could help us. So a lot of times, again, it's the lack of knowledge, the lack of information. When I first started running, when I mentioned that I want to run 100 miles, there was, oh man, the amount of people, even friends that I found out were talking behind my back and just negative, was surprising. I thought with everything I had accomplished up to that point, I would have had more support. But I didn't. I had more negativity than positivity when it came to attempting 100 miles. And again, I'll always admit the first one was terrible. I went in there with the right knowledge, but I was egotistical and I was not humble. And that race made sure to humble me and show me that you ask these people for advice to get the information, to give you the best opportunity to be successful in this situation, but you didn't use it. You tried to do it your way and not their way. Understand now that I've done so many and in different situations and different terrains and different times of the year, I'm way more experienced to where now I know what works for me. But in the beginning, I thought, oh, I know what works for me in 5Ks, 10Ks, half marathons, marathons, 50Ks, 50 miles. Oh, it's going to work in 100 miles. No, it's not. It's a whole different race. Because again, things that worked in 5Ks didn't always work in those higher distances. So it was, again, in that case, I had the information. I just didn't use it. And I failed. Well, I shouldn't say that because I did complete the 100 miles in the given time. But I failed up to my standards and my goal. And I got better with that. I learned from my mistakes and I improved. We think about as runners, Eliud Kipchoge, right? Everyone said it's impossible to run a sub-2-hour marathon. Granted, I understand in his case when he did it, it was not the typical race situation. Everything was perfect for him to do it, but it showed that physically a human is capable of doing it. And we just seen how it was pretty close. Again, forgive me, I forgot his name, but the young kid that just passed away after winning, I believe it was Chicago, everyone was saying he's probably the person that's going to do it because he was so close to doing it on a regular race day course scenario situation, no special treatment, nothing like that, to where if he was able to continue in his prime, he could have probably done it. So it shows that it is possible, but we're not there yet, but we're getting closer. Because if you look at the times, they keep getting faster and faster. So what was impossible years ago eventually can be possible again with training and different technology and different nutrition and different, there's so much out there we still haven't learned that can be applied in the future, and records will continue to be broken. At least that's how I feel. Another one, if you're local, Bob Becker, a huge race director, Keys 100, Daytona 100, Everglades Ultra. He's huge, very popular down here in Florida and the Florida Ultra running community. He did, at 76 years old, he ran the Badwater 135. And it's just, you see people saying, oh, running's bad for your knees, you shouldn't do it. Oh, you know, this and that. The man's 76 years old and still beating a lot of us in races that are half his age. He's trained, he's experienced, he knows what to do, he knows how to handle the situations, he's done the research. Again, it just shows you that no matter your age, your size, your financial situation, whatever it is, like if you really are passionate about something and you put in the work, the doubters shouldn't have an effect on how you go about your life. And I think that's key. You have to have one, self-awareness. Again, you think of my first 100 miler. I wasn't self-aware until halfway during the race. I realized this isn't working. I tried to do it my way. This wasn't smart. And I started doing it the way everyone told me. And by then it was too late. Unfortunately, I you know, did the best I could to finish the race, but every 100 miler after that, I was more self-aware, self-conscious, and smarter about my technique. And, you know, things got better. Sure, there were still bad days. Things are going to happen. But I was better prepared, and I handled the situations better. So self-awareness, you got to have the perseverance, right? Because if I just gave up after that first one, I would have thought that's all I'm capable of. But then I went and ran. So that first one was like 38 hours. My next one was 29. And that was only because I had to take an hour break because of lightning and being pretty close to hypothermia. And I've gotten all the way down to 26:45, right? So if I had just said, that's all I'm capable of, then I wouldn't have experienced what I did since, completing nine others after that and seeing how much faster and stronger I could be, especially at the end of one, where that first one I was walking, everything was swollen, everything hurt, where I did some where I was sprinting at the finish line and felt like I could have kept going another 5, 10, 15 miles at that point. And then just that pursuit of meaningful dreams. A lot of people, they have those dreams, but they don't pursue them. They don't chase them. I was talking about this with somebody yesterday where I have items on my bucket list, but I don't really have a list. It's like I see something, oh, I'd like to do that, and it just fades. Or, oh, that place looks nice, I'd like to go there. I don't really make plans. I don't look at how much the flights are, hotels are. I don't look at none of that because it's like, it's not really a passion of mine. But then I saw this race that I was really interested in, and I started following it. I followed the page. I was checking the updates. I was providing feedback when they were asking what would, you know, if it's something you're passionate about, you're going to pursue it 100%. You're not going to be lackadaisical about it and just nonchalant. You're going to put in effort to see if it's possible and make it happen. Same thing with the coaching. you know, I had talked about it. People had encouraged me to do it. And then finally, one day it just hit me. I was like, I really would like to do that. So I made the effort. I went on the site. I looked at what classes were available, what options what would be needed, what's required. And I did it, took the class, got certified. So if there's something you want to do, it doesn't matter if somebody's telling you you can't or you shouldn't, do it. It's your life. If it's your passion, go do it. You can't let other people's fear stop you from trying. If we always live in fear, we'll never experience anything. And even on top of that, without curiosity, we'd never find out what we're capable of, right? Like I never even thought about 100 miles. To me, it was just, I honestly didn't even know there was anything past a marathon at first. So for me, it was marathon is, that's it, right? And then I found out about ultras, about 50Ks and 50 milers. I'm like, oh, well, that's pretty cool. I mean, 50K is not too much more than a marathon. I could do that. Then you do that, and then it's like, all right, well, it's only like, 19-ish more miles to do a 50-miler. I think I could do that, And that's how it works. Like the curiosity, I wonder if I could do this. I wonder if I'm able to do this. I wonder. And that's what you have to start with. You have to have that wonder, that desire, that curiosity. If you don't have it, then, again, and there's nothing wrong with that. If you're happy with where you are, what you're doing, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you have that thing on your shoulder, that thing in your head, that whisper, that voice, whatever it is, the little itch, check it out. Look into it, because there were things that I didn't think I'd want to do. But then I said, let me see what that's all about. And I'm like, oh, okay. It's actually not that bad. I'll try that. So if you put away the doubters, I'm not going to call them haters, because a lot of times they're not even hating on you. They're not trying to stop you from succeeding. They just don't know. They're either afraid for you, or they're, again, lack of knowledge. They don't know that people have done these things before, right? When I tell people about Mike Wardian running from the beach in California to the beach in Virginia, doing pretty much, I think he did like 50 miles a day. People are like, what? Because they look at me and they're like, oh, you're crazy. How do you run that much? And I'm like, yo, check out this guy, Mike Wardian. Right. Check out Camille Heron, who just broke a record. I don't even remember how many miles she just did in 6 days, but she's constantly breaking records. But like, people look at me and they're like, oh my God, you're going to hurt yourself with this 100 miles. You can't do that. People can't do that. That's not capable. Look at these people that are doing above and beyond what I'm doing. So if you're impressed by me, go check them out. Right. And if you think I'm crazy, go check them out. But I think about, like, too, it's because sometimes they failed, right? And they think that because they failed, everyone else is going to fail. Every day that I'm with my son, he's playing a game on his phone, and it's, Dad, I can't do this. Can you help me? And I want to grab the phone and do it for him and beat the level for him, but I'm like, hold on, let me try again. Let me watch what you're doing. And I realize, because he's so young, he might not understand what he's supposed to do. So I show him, hey, when you get there, do this. Or you're supposed to do that. Or use this button to do this. And then I watch him and he does it. And he might fail, but he gets a little bit better. Then he tries again, he gets a little bit further and fails again. Gets a little bit closer, gets like to the end, fails again. But I could see in his effort, in his enthusiasm, that now you can see his eyes light up like, Dad, I can do this. Like, it's possible. And when he beats it, he's so excited and high fives and, Dad, I did it. Dad, I won. And it's like, I could have did it for him, but I let him learn. I gave him the information and showed him that it's possible. There's nothing wrong with, sometimes I will show him, because I'll be like, hey, that is kind of a hard level. Like, let me help you out. Your hand-eye coordination isn't at that level yet. This game's a little bit more advanced for your age, but sure, I'll help you beat that one. But this is how you do it. Watch me, and see what I'm doing, right? And that's the thing. If we show them or tell them how, they can. So all the people that see someone wanting to do something or trying to do something and just telling them straight up that they can't or they shouldn't, those are the people you want to avoid. Because if you don't know, don't hinder someone's potential. If you do know, give them the information and advice, the tips, the tricks, the suggestions to make it easier and give them a chance to succeed more. Instead of just telling somebody no, tell them how, or just don't say nothing at all, or just encourage them. Just say, hey, I don't know if that's going to be possible. It's probably going to be really hard, but you know what? I like that you're going for that. I like that you're attempting that. I support you. I encourage you. You know, let me know how it goes. Just give them some words of encouragement. Just support them. I just seen, I want to call her a friend because we now have communicated through DMs as well. But somebody that I was following on TikTok originally, just because she was posting a lot of funny stuff and she kept showing up on my feed. So I liked it. And then, you know, through commenting on some of her stuff, we initiated a conversation. So that's why I said I consider her a friend, because we talked about some stuff non-video related at this point. But she posted something about a woman who had lost weight, and it was something pertaining to her calling her beautiful at a bigger age, or not bigger age, a bigger weight. And this, I don't know if he, well, I don't think he was trolling, because he did defend his argument respectfully, his point. But he was talking about how we shouldn't call big women beautiful, and that encourages them to remain big. Where when she lost weight, now he considered her beautiful. And I know I'm kind of going off topic here, but that just came to my mind, because it's what she said after, where she said, you know, when herself, because she also was big at one point, when she was big, her mom would call her fat and say things to her that her mom probably thought was encouraging, but in her eyes, it hurt her and made her want to eat more food, drink more, be less active. Our words are that powerful. So if you don't know anything and you can't provide any information to help a person, just don't say anything at all, other than, hey, good luck. I hope it works out. I hope you reach your goal. I hope you achieve your goal. Support them, right? Because just giving them negative feedback when they're trying is pointless, and it's not productive. It's not helpful. I see people at the gym all the time, and you can tell they're new. You could tell they're just starting their fitness journey. You could tell they don't really know what they're doing. They don't know how to use the equipment. You could see they're kind of overwhelmed. They're looking around like a deer in headlights. You can tell. But I sit there and watch them, and I'm like, man, you know what? I was there once. I was there. You know, when I worked at the running store, I would see people that came in, and they didn't know how to pronounce the brands. They'd easier and make it more comfortable and make it more fun. But I didn't know, so I just jumped right in. And so I you know, dap them up or say, hey, I see you in here grinding every Saturday, every Sunday. A race I was just talking to you guys about, I think it's called the Bulldog 12 and 24 hour race. It's a brand new ultra. It's going to be this. It's a race I saw was very and not like have an actual distance. Like, you have to do this. Just say, hey, you know, for 24 hours, I'm going to go do what I can and be happy with that. I'll set goals, sure. But really capable of, if I put in the training and I do the research, and I need to be prepared before I do this and that. Sure, it's better to be prepared. Like I said, my first 100 miler. But more, I feel like some people that achieve on the first try think it's always, I'm in a new situation here. I've always been the one knocking people down. Now I'm a little wobbly. I'm a little confused. What do I do? And it's in those moments that you learn about yourself and you learn how you adapt and overcome and react and learn from those lessons and what to do next time. So as I wrap this up, I encourage you, whatever journey you're on, or if there's, again, something you're looking to get into, just go do it. Don't procrastinate. If it's something financially, obviously make sure you're not putting yourself at risk. But if you've done the research and you're not putting yourself in any kind of harm, danger, just go do it. Go do it.
Thanks for listening to the Mile You're In podcast. If you enjoyed it, make sure to like, share, and subscribe.